Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Melville on this rainy Sunday morning. Those of you at home on Zoom made the right choice. So to start off, I'm not Bethany, as you know. Bethany's not feeling well today, so Reverend Helen Smith is filling in for her today. So moving us back a bit. There we go. So Helen is a graduate of Knox College. She's served congregations in Edmonton, Chatham, Thornhill, and Calgary. Her work in Chatham and Thornhill was in a team ministry with her husband, the Reverend Dr. Robert Smith. She also served for 9 years at Evangel Hall in downtown Toronto, and as the minister on staff at a downtown agency for people who are homeless in Calgary called Calgary Urban Projects Society. For the larger church, Helen has served on the Life and Mission Agency Committee and the Committee on Church Doctrine. Ecumenically, she's served on the Caribbean and North American Area Council of the World Communion of Reformed Churches and the Steering Committee for Kairos, Canada. Helen and Bob retired in June 2016 and moved back to Toronto from Calgary. She enjoys reading, canoeing, knitting, and baking bread. I'm gonna have to find out more about this bread. Bob and Helen have 3 adult children and 1 granddaughter. Welcome, Helen. Thank you for joining us today.
Please join me in the call to worship. Who is like the Lord our God, high above the heavens in glory? Who raises the poor from the dust and lifts up the needy from the ashes? Who makes light shine in darkness, gives joy in sorrow, and brings life out of death? Thanks be to God.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Listen to our prayer of adoration, and then you can join me in the prayer of confession. Creating God, beauty and harmony mark your creation. As the seasons change, we see you are still at work in the world, transforming hearts and situations. We praise you for all you do to repair injustice and to bring peace to places of war, working for goodness to prevail in all nations. You offer us new possibilities day by day, and so we place our trust in your redeeming power. Renew our energy for mission this autumn and open our eyes to new opportunities to reach out in Jesus' name. Through the power of the Spirit, make us participants in your work, bringing justice and joy into the world you love. Amen. Compassionate God, you open our heart to those in need, and in aching creation, we confess we all turn away. So we can see pain, suffering, and injustice. Forgive us, give us courage to love and love. Reach out to the. Amen. Here is our assurance of pardon. The prophet Micah declared that God requires of us 3 things: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. To all who repent, who act for justice, and seek to serve God and neighbor in kindness, God offers forgiveness and peace. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all.
As Mary Beth said, my name is Helen Smith, and I'm your neighbor from Guildwood Community Presbyterian Church. It is very good to be with you today, and I wanted particularly to talk to people, some of whom might be shorter than me, but some of you might not be, about something that I did this summer. I went on a canoe trip. It was very exciting. I went with my granddaughter, who is 6. So it was her first canoe trip. Don't ask her about the bathrooms, because we were out in the sticks. No electricity, just bugs and frogs that made noises all night long. So on this canoe trip, I hadn't been on an overnight like that for a long time since my kids were younger. And I had a problem with this one because we all had to talk about, there was me, the grandma, and the grandpa came, and the mom and the dad, and Elliot. And that's the one who's six. So four of us had cell phones. So we had to talk about, were we going to take our cell phones? We can't plug them in. We can't, get the batteries going again if they run out of steam. Well, I have the worst cell phone. So they decided that there was no point in taking mine because by noon it's out of juice. So I left my cell phone behind, but the others took theirs, they turned them off, and we just turned them on when we wanted to take a picture or find out what time it was, if we really wanted to know, which we most of the time didn't. So I had to put my cell phone on the table beside my bed and turn it off and walk away. And that was very hard. And I got in the car to drive to the big park where we were going to start our canoe trip. And I thought, what if somebody texts me? I won't be able to read it. Or what if I get a WhatsApp? Or I can't do my Wordle. Or I can't check my tweets. So it was really hard for me to walk away. I thought, I'm losing my connections. And then we got into the lovely canoe trip, and we were paddling, and I looked across at the beautiful lake and the trees and the sky, and I felt God was with me. And just like you just sang in the song, God is with us all the time. And I thought, I am still connected through God, through his son Jesus, through my family, which is here with me. So I survived 3 days. And the really funny thing was, when we came out of the park, it was a Friday. And on the way home, we had to buy milk because we didn't have any milk at home. And we went into the store and I couldn't use my credit card. I thought, that's funny. Why can't I use my credit card? And then we turned on the radio in the car and Rogers was down that day. You remember the day that Rogers was down? That was the day. So I still didn't have a cell phone. Anyway, remember that even if we don't have our cell phones, we are still connected to one another. Yeah, what you got? You didn't have yours? Was it scary not to have it? It was okay? Did you have lots of emails when you got back? Oh, you missed the games. Yeah, I couldn't play any games either. And the worst was I was on a real winning streak with Wordle and I got cut off. So anyway, but we all survived it. Before you go off to your class, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Lord, help us open our hearts and minds to your word today. Amen. The scripture reading is from the New Testament, John 3, verse 1 to 17, found on page 1029 of your pew Bible. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you then believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
In the name of the Holy Trinity, amen. Nicodemus is a big cheese. He has it all. He has it made in the shade. He's a very important person. A Pharisee, a person of rigorous piety, very devoted to God. He's a leader in his community, no doubt one of the 70 occupying a seat on the Council of Elders, the Sanhedrin. He is the establishment. And he has heard about what Jesus has been up to in Jerusalem. This charismatic rabbi who has attracted such a following, this rabble-rouser who literally whipped this year's Passover festivities into a frenzy by driving out the money changers from the temple. This miracle worker who has done many signs and wonders throughout Jerusalem. Nicodemus has heard enough about this maverick teacher to make him think he ought to pay him a visit and find out a little bit more. Could it be that Nicodemus, despite his prestige in the society, his knowledge of the law and the prophets, his adherence to the faith, he still senses a gnawing emptiness in his innermost being. Some 400 years later, St. Augustine of Hippo would write, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." And in the 1600s, Blaise Pascal, a mathematician and a Christian philosopher, which is kind of an interesting combination, he wrote, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person, and it can never be filled by any created being. It can only be filled by God, made known through Jesus Christ." So maybe Nicodemus doesn't have it all. So Nicodemus comes to meet Jesus. However, as a very important person with a big theological reputation to uphold, he decides it might be just as well to pay this visit in the middle of the night. Better to be at least fairly safe than to be sorry, he thinks. And he waits till he thinks his neighbors are all asleep. We, he says to Jesus, as in, we, the folks who run the show around here, we know you are a teacher come from God. And having said this, Nicodemus waits, carefully watching how Jesus will respond. Will the new rabbi fit in with the rest of the teachers and the elders and priests, the religious establishment in Jerusalem? Or was that stunt at the temple evidence of a lone ranger intent on bucking the system? And what is it about this man that attracts so many people? Why do people leave their old lives and come follow him? Well, at first, Jesus was fairly patient. What the whole thing boils down to, Jesus says, is that unless you get born again, you might as well give up. I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. That's all very well, Nicodemus says, but how are you supposed to pull a thing like that off? How especially are you supposed to pull it off when you're pushing 70? How do you get born again when it was a challenge just to get out of bed in the morning? He even gets a little sarcastic. Could a man enter a second time into his mother's womb, he asks, when it was all he could do to enter a taxi without the driver coming around to his side to give him a shove from behind? To Nicodemus, it sounds like a bad riddle. Re-entering the womb is a physical impossibility. But even as the Pharisee protests, Jesus persists, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. And here's where we need to read the fine print in our Bibles. You know, the little notes, there's a little number there, and you go down below and you find some notes that are there, or you read it in a different version and it uses a different word. Because in the NIV, it says, the New International Version, it says born again. And the New Revised Standard Version, it says born from above. So, like, which is it? And the crucial word in Greek is anothen. You must be born anothen. It means either from above or again. The ambiguity seems deliberate. For when Nicodemus obsesses over the physical impossibility of this event, Jesus pushes the envelope. Listen closely, says Jesus. Yes, born again, but this is not a physical rebirth, not a second trip through life. I'm talking about being born from above, born of the Spirit. And a gust of wind happens to whistle down the chimney at that moment, making the dying embers in the fireplace burst into flame. And Jesus says, being born again is like that. It isn't something that we do. The wind did it. The Spirit does it. It is something that happens for God's sake. It's an image that suggests that we have little choice in the matter. Many people, you know, they'll come up to you and say, are you born again? As if it involves you making a decision for God. Yet babies do not decide to be born. The central feature of this image that Jesus uses, that Nicodemus is having such trouble getting his head around, seems to preclude our active role in the process. Instead, God, in God's grace, is the primary player. And Nicodemus still doesn't get it. He's so set in the establishment way of doing things, where it's all up to the individual to appease a very angry God, to earn brownie points with God. How can this be? Nicodemus says. And that's when Jesus lets him have it. Maybe Nicodemus had 6 honorary doctorates and half a column in Who's Who, Jesus says, but if he couldn't see something as plain as the nose on his face, he'd better go back to kindergarten. I'm telling you like it is, Jesus says. I'm telling you what I've seen. I'm telling you there are people on chemotherapy walking around with the light of love in their eyes. I'm telling you there are ex-cons teaching Sunday school. I'm telling you there are alcoholics no longer filled with spirits, but overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, I'm telling you, God's got such a thing for this messed up planet that he sent me here. So if you don't believe your own eyes, maybe you'll believe mine. Maybe you'll believe me and you won't come sneaking around scared half to death in the dark anymore. But you will come and follow and come to and come clean and come to life. God so loved the world that he gave his son that we might have life. You may have noticed that Matthew and Luke have stories that focus on the events leading up to the birth of Jesus. John focuses on the spiritual birth of the Christian. What does that look like? How can we detect the presence of the Spirit in someone's life? It seems to be a difficult question to answer. It's an elusive thing. Jesus tells Nicodemus, for like the wind, you cannot see the gusts of air themselves, but only the results of their passing presence. Perhaps then being born from above can only be discerned over time. I'm thinking that after Nicodemus hears John 3:16, his own breathing quickens and his heart pounds. And he hasn't felt like that since his first child was born, or the time they told him he didn't have lung cancer, but just a touch of the flu. Because 18 months later, we read in John chapter 7, verses 50 to 52, that there's a great row in the Sanhedrin. The Pharisees are demanding that the temple guards imprison Jesus. And one of their own number, guess who? Nicodemus, speaks up and defends Jesus. He says, I don't think our law condemns without first hearing him to find out what he's doing. And sometime later, as we read in John chapter 19, verses 38 to 42, sometime later when Jesus is crucified, after he declares, it is finished, and dies, after his body is removed from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea, a disciple of Jesus, with Pilate's permission, comes and takes the body away. Nicodemus is with him. Indeed, Nicodemus brings a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of it, in today's dollars worth about $200,000. And taking Jesus' body, Nicodemus and Joseph lovingly wrap it with the spices in linen cloths according to the burial customs of the Jews. Nicodemus no longer hides under the dark of night. He pays his last respects in broad daylight, and that was a crazy thing to do at that time because there was a witch hunt going on for Jesus' followers. But Nicodemus decided it was worth it. And I'm thinking that when he heard the next day that some of the disciples had seen Jesus alive again, he wept like a newborn baby. Amen. Let us pray. We praise you for the shocking, miraculous truth, God, that we can be born again, and that daily you welcome us into a surprising new life, the wonderful, creative, unpredictable world of your Spirit. And that all we can do is allow ourselves to be pushed, birthed by your grace, into new experiences of your reign. Here we are, O God. Let us be once more in this moment, in this place, born yet again. Amen. Let us pray. God of Nicodemus, we pray for all the people in this world. Especially we pray for the people in Eastern Canada whose homes and lives are battered by the storms. We pray for peace in Ukraine. We pray for those in positions of power, those who lead us. We pray for the women and men who lay down their lives for the safety of brothers and sisters and neighbors. Birth us all anew, O God. Hear us and help us on our journey. God of Nicodemus, we pray for those who are searching for a deeper meaning to their lives. We pray for all those who long for a new beginning, those who are imprisoned, those who are estranged, those who have left loved ones behind, those who are ill or infirm. We pray for Reverend Bethany and her family. Give us all new life by the power of your Spirit. Help us to see how we can be present to others as your hands and feet. Birth us all anew, O God. Hear us and help us on our journey. God of Nicodemus, we pray for your church and for this congregation. Give us the faith to act on what we do not understand. Bless us to be a blessing to everyone in your name. Birth us all anew, O God. Hear us and help us on our journey. Birth us all anew, O God. Hear us and help us on our journey. Help us to grow up again, to accept not only earthly things, but heavenly things, to lift up your Son and be lifted up ourselves, to let your spirit move us beyond our understanding. God of Nicodemus and all of us, hear us and help us. Even as surely as the Spirit blows among us, to continue the work of your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you may abound in hope. Amen.